recently spoke with Mark E. Hutchings, who was hired for this new position earlier this year. In particular, we spoke about the deer population. Hutchings says that much of what we do in terms of development actually provides a good habitat for deer.
We try to protect, you know, watersheds by leaving vegetative buffers, you know, along creek sides and stream sides. And we try to leave some greenways just from the aesthetic side of things. And so much of that habitat, you know, is pretty attractive to wildlife. And along with that, as the housing developments go in, many times those housing developments are developed in a way where it creates a lot of good edge. There's a lot of landscaping that's done, and a lot of those flowering plants are quite attractive to deer and other critters.
He says there are plants that are less attractive to deer than others. My mom has given up on hostas. Hutchings says it isn't 100% foolproof, though. In a drought year like last year, they'll come into our watered yards and eat what they can find.
Deer are pretty much browsers. They like the broadleaf plants, flowering plants, the vines. Many of the vegetable gardens are prime candidates for, you know, deer. So in instances where you are gardening, if it's possible, fencing those is probably the best option. There are a lot of products on the market in terms of repellents and those types of things, and they have mixed reviews. I talk with some people that have pretty good success with them, and I talk to other people that really don't have a great deal of success with them.
Sometimes they'll work for a period of time and then no longer work. Other options to deter deer from yards and plants are motion-activated water sprinklers, lights, plain old fences, or dogs. But is there some sort of happy medium for those of us that enjoy looking at deer, but not so much losing the plants?
Not everyone has the same opinion. Some people will tolerate them to a greater level than others. And that's where we get into situations where we get called. Whenever someone has reached kind of the end of their limit, where they've had enough damage to landscape plants or garden plants, that sort of thing, oftentimes we'll get a call and they want some help in doing something about it. It depends on the culture of the folks that are dealing with those. Some people, like I say, will tolerate much more, and others, you know, have a shorter string and won't tolerate them quite as much. That's what makes it difficult to manage sometimes as well.
He says deer and other animals have adapted so much that their populations are actually growing, hence the increased sightings, even in the older neighborhoods.
Part of that is because several years ago, probably there were far fewer developed acres in town, and as we continue to grow and build more and develop more, we crowd those animals down into smaller corridors, and in some instances, they just become more visible. Numbers maybe have increased, but at the same time, not necessarily to a great degree, but maybe they're just more visible to us than they once were.
Not only more visible, but also more tolerable. Deer tend to not run away from cars and people as often or as quickly as they once did, as they become more adapted to an urban environment.
Where there's a lot of activity, a lot of people, they see them on a daily basis, and so they've become a little less fearful. They're not being pursued from a hunting standpoint. So, you know, other than some deer vehicle collisions occasionally, they're really not being harassed a whole lot.
Living in this urban environment, Hutchings says, could actually increase the lifespan of a deer due to the readily available vegetation for feeding and lack of hunting. Longer lifespan equals more procreation.
Once a doe reaches sexual maturity, which really happens after the first year, the first time she has a fawn, she's probably going to have one, but subsequent years after that, if she's healthy and food, you know, availability is there and she have good habitat, they're going to oftentimes have twins. Sometimes does will have triplets. So, you know, their ability to reproduce is pretty good. And so we can see some numbers, you know, increase over time with good habitat conditions and good health in the herd.
Because of this increased in-town deer population, the Arkansas Game and Fish Commission offers municipalities the option to apply for an urban archery deer hunt program, with 7 cities in Arkansas currently taking part, including Fort Smith, which will begin in September.
It's a pretty good program, and it helps us to work with some of the cities to at least reduce some of the numbers within city boundaries. They're able to kind of identify the areas where they would allow the hunting opportunity to occur. They can identify how large of a scale they want to try to tackle, and so that, you know, the permit numbers are adjusted accordingly to that.
Numbers show the important role that hunting plays in the deer population. Hutchings says that in the 1920s, Arkansas had about 500 white-tailed deer due to over-harvesting by market hunters. As a result of conservation and regulations, today, the population is estimated at around 1 million.
We can harvest to the point where we can almost do them in, as we did back in the 20s. Or we can, you know, we can step back from that and harvest at a limited level and see a good, healthy deer herd statewide. So hunting does play a big part. So I think that's something that we need to consider as we move forward with looking at reduction in numbers, you know, in some of these areas where we have some overpopulation problems.
And on tomorrow's edition of Ozarks at Large, we will learn more about deer hunting and the rules and regulations surrounding the sport. Mark Hutchings is an urban wildlife biologist with the Arkansas Game and Fish Commission.